What is up? What is up? What is up, everyone? 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 It is another day, another time, and another week for your favorite Monday night show, Real Talk Monday. Y'all, I got my sister, the fireball, the woman, the impactful woman of God herself, Miss Daisy Mitchell, up in the building. What's up, sis? How you doing?
Hey, brother. How are you guys doing? How are you doing, James?
I am good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm celebrating my birthday month, so I'm living it up all month long.
How was your break? Our break, I should say.
It was good. It was good. It was good. Definitely needed. Spent some time under God, and it revealed some things to me on this break. Yeah. So
that's good.
It was needed. It was needed. So, y'all, we about to have a hard discussion on tonight. This ain't going to be no cookie cutter easy discussion. So, let me keep it real with you all. If you got kids and you're not wanting them to hear discussions like this, put your kids to bed. Because we're going to have these hard discussions that Real Talk Monday is known for. One thing I love about us is we're not afraid to have those discussions. So we are about to play the theme song. Then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer on the night. And I'm going to ask my sister, Miss Daisy, to lead us in prayer after the theme song and introduce our topic for the night. So as the theme song is playing, I want you to like, share, tag, let somebody and let everybody know that Real Talk Monday is on. Let's go. What is up? What is up? What is up? Everyone, everyone, everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week for Real Talk Monday. Just lead us in prayer on tonight.
All right. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for yet another Monday, another week, and another episode of Real Talk Monday. Heavenly Father, we uplift you, we magnify you, we exalt you in this hour. We pray that what the discussion brings to the table, that everything that you highlighted to us, we thank you for the topic, God. We pray that you brought it to the forefront because it is something that needs to be discussed. And we pray that the ears that are listening has ears to hear and eyes to see, that they receive it not from our mouthpiece, but from the voice of you, Heavenly Father. We pray that it does not fall on deaf ears. We pray that, mighty Father God, that we won't be just doers. We won't just be sayers, or we won't just have this discussion and let it fall, but that we will pick up the pieces and we will take action. God, we pray that all our hearts are postured to hearing what you highlighted in this topic, mighty God. And we pray your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, y'all. So, sis, introduce our topic for tonight.
All right. So, tonight's topic is human sex trafficking. Human sex trafficking, which is something that we don't discuss that is really happening. To be honest. And so what why we're having this discussion is because Holy Spirit brought this into my spirit, and then I presented it to James, and James is like, yes, definitely. So here we are today, and we're going to conversation. There's some things that I want to also highlight that as God gave me the revelation and the research on this particular topic, on scriptures and different things that he led me to that is happening in the world that I'm sure a lot of us don't even know. And we're going to talk about it tonight. So you want to kick off with the first questions before I get into?
Definitely, I can do that. So the first question is, as a woman, do you feel safe in this day and time? As a woman, do you feel safe in this day and time? I know, even though I'm not a woman, I do have like sisters, a mother, and all of that that I definitely worry about in this day and time. Because let's be honest, the world that we are living in now is dangerous and crazy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Do you feel safe in this day and time as a woman?
Had you asked me this question before, my faith, my crazy faith was so wild in God, I would have said, no, I'm scared. I don't want to go out my house and so on and so forth. It may be, call it super holy as whatever y'all want to call, but because I am so rooted in God, and he speaks to me, he warns me, he tells me stuff, I am not afraid. Not saying that we should not be cautious and have precaution on our family, our woman, and our loved ones. But as a woman, you know, I wouldn't blame a lot of people, a lot of women that may be fearful or scared. And even going out in, at night, like example, I asked a young lady that worked, I believe it was a store that was 24 hours, was a 7-Eleven, some store. And she's the only woman there overnight. And so I asked her and I said to her, are you here by yourself? And she said, there's one guy there, but he's normally in the back. That fast, someone could come in, snatch her up or kill her or anything like that. So it's just America has gotten so comfortable with putting our woman out there without safety. And when I say safety, yes, God is the full armor and the protection. Yes, he's all of the covering, right? But taking precaution measures as if you're going to have a woman on shift overnight, why have the man in the back and have the woman out in the front? And so I feel like we've gotten so comfortable with thinking things like human trafficking and self-trafficking and kidnapping and beating on women and killing women and robbing a store and a woman being up front. We've just dismissed the factor that we still need to be protected. And so God has entrusted man, earthly man, to cover and protect his widows, his fatherless, and his woman, his son, his daughters. And so, yeah, to answer that question, I do feel safe because I feel I have the covering of the Lord, but I can't say that for so many other women. You know what I'm saying? And so that answers that question. Did you want to add to that?
I definitely will add to that. I feel you on that. When I worked at a shoe store, most of the time, the women that the ones that I was working with that was closing was women. And a lot of the times I would not leave until those women had left. And sometimes I would even follow them to the bank to make sure that they got there safe, because just that quick, anything can happen. I can remember certain times where we were setting down this store and somebody came banging on the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Just that quick.
That it can happen literally that fast. And like I said, it blows my mind that we as business owners or the establishments that they're working for don't think to have the extra protection for the women that they're working nights or opening early in the morning, because we've gotten so comfortable and oblivious to that kidnapping can happen, killing can happen.
Right.
Human trafficking is still a thing. It's always been a thing. It never died. It's actually growing, but it's not being talked about.
Which we're going to get into that.
Right. All right. So I'll do the next question. We can flip-flop if you want. I don't know.
Yeah, that works for me.
All right. So,
you know how we work.
What does the Bible say about human sex trafficking. What does the Bible say about human and sex trafficking?
Well,
Okay.
if you look at this, isn't nothing new at all. If you even look at the story of Joseph, where he was sold into slavery by his brothers, that was human trafficking right there. He was sold into slavery by his brothers to do a deed to for them to make money. If you even look at the one who was getting married and ended up having to marry the other sister because the father thought that the oldest sister ought to be married first. But he had to continue to work to get the younger sister. I mean, it's still going on.
So in the Joe, I wanted to hold on. You can finish talking because I'm looking up something real quick.
I mean, it's going on, but what we have to realize is the only way that we're going to be able to handle this and truly handle it the way that God wants us to handle it is we have to get off of Facebook and get our face in the book. We have to get our face in the book, which is the word of God, in order to be able to withstand all of these things. God said in his word, we have to study to show ourselves approved. It ain't something that is going to come overnight. We have to constantly ask God to renew our mind, give us a new mindset, give us new strength, give us new insight in order to withstand what we are facing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to highlight, I'm trying to get the exact verse, Exodus 9:10, where God, this is what the Bible says. Okay, this is how God feels about where God said to Moses, he said, "Go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. If he does not let my people go and he refuses, I will bring judgment to the entire whole country with a fog." So, yes, we see a lot of things going on in the world, and we're very passive and dismissive about it all happening. And we give credit to the president, we give credit to the government. I want y'all to know this is a judgment from the Lord. Based on scripture says, if we don't awaken and we don't, the people that's doing the sex human trafficking, if they don't ease up and stop, like God instructed Moses to say to Pharaoh, if you do not let my people go, I am going to bring judgment over the entire country with the fog. Have we not been experiencing wildfires and fog in different places where we don't even have the wildfire? Just last week in Florida, we are far from Canada, and we had unhealthy air because of the wildfire that was happening in a whole different state that it is nowhere. And I've seen before, when I was on media, James, a few other countries that don't even have wildfires was dealing with this fog, this particular fog. So I want y'all to know that this is God speaking. We're not just talking about this topic just because, yes, a lot of times, sometimes topics just come. We think we sit and we get creative with our topic and say what we're going to talk about. But this topic is actually what God wants us to speak about. And this is showing in Exodus 9:1, when God told Moses that if he does not let his people go, that he was going to bring judgment via way of fog. And we've been experiencing that. What more confirmation do you guys need? All right.
It's right there in the word. And the word also says our people perish because of lack of knowledge. It's not because the knowledge is not there, but it's because we'd rather look everywhere else but in the actual source for the knowledge.
Or it's because of our unbelief. So much. And My time in our break, James, from Real Talk Monday, like you, I spending time with God, and God just kept, bringing me to His Word, and I was just talking to God, and I was just like, I was asking God, why is so many people falling left and right? Why is so many people sick? Why is so many people in poverty? Why is so many people, being diagnosed with so many different illnesses? And one of the things he said to me is because of their unbelief in my word and me. We read the word, we know the word, and a lot of people know the word. And it breaks my heart to say these are a lot of people that carry the name that they're believers or Christians, I should say, or they're religion people, like the Pharisees in the Bible. They were so religious, but they really didn't know God, and they weren't really serving God.
No.
And so they were so in unbelief into any prophecy. And God has been sending out mouthpieces left and right to warn for a lot of things that's happening, and still we're in unbelief. And so there's a great shakening coming because God, in His gentle, loving, kind self, has been sending out warning. And there's a shakening that's going to come to the body of Christ first, which He's using us and as an example, because we should be the one that is so grounded, rooted, and in obedience to His word. But a lot of us aren't. And so, for example, look at what's happening today in Israel. He loves Israel. That's God's very own. And so God is using, as in the Bible, He uses things and people to bring forth a message or a judgment, right? And so He's using the Pharisees today to bring judgment. And He also brought me to those scriptures. I don't know if James, you remember I did a YouTube video back in the end of August where God highlighted to focus on, look out on these brother, because Pharaoh, the Pharaohs, the Pharisees and Israelites, they're supposed to be brothers. And so the scripture in Agai that he brought me to is that the brothers and sisters are gonna start fighting against each other. They're gonna pull their swords at each other. I don't know if you remember that. And he highlighted that these things were gonna happen in September and October. And this just happened in October on this Saturday. Then on Saturday morning, he brought me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I believe it was 6 and 7. Where he told Ezekiel to turn to get on the mountain in Israel and say to the people in Israel that judgment is here. And that was Saturday. And this kidnapping, the bombing, and everything happened today in Israel, Saturday. So y'all gotta wake up and know that when God is speaking, He will send confirmation, just as he's going to send someone to deliver his word, because he knows that a lot of people is in unbelief, his very own people that is in unbelief, and his very own people that say they don't hear from him. But God is always speaking. God is always speaking, always, always. And so, like James said, if we open up the book, that's if you're so cluttered in your ears and your mind and you can't audibly hear him, he is forever speaking in his word, forever speaking in the Bible. And I got off a little track, but that was the Holy Spirit, because we prayed that we're gonna allow the Holy Spirit to flow how he wanna flow, because he gonna say what he needs to say through us, and that's just how we're gonna flow today.
Yeah, exactly. Because one thing that we got to realize is you said something very key while you was speaking just a minute ago, where you said the scribes and the religious leaders was the ones that really did not receive Jesus. What we have to realize on today is we have a lot of people that know the word of God. They know the word. but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. It's easy for them to know the word. They're good at studying the word. They're good at quoting scripture. They're good at all of that. But when it comes to having that personal relationship with him and surrendering yourself, yielding to not your own understanding, but in all our ways, acknowledging him and allowing him to direct your path. That's where they struggle. My pastor even preached on this yesterday where he said, you know, Satan will dress things up to make it look like it is God that's blessing you. But the whole time, Satan's like, that ain't from God. That's for me. I'm doing this. Yeah. You sitting here praising God, and God is sitting back like, I ain't have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
You in this relationship, you are literally drained from this relationship. And you asking God, God, why am I drained from this relationship? And God is saying, because that ain't who I had you with in the first place.
Yeah. And, you know, what I've been dealing with a lot with some of the closest people to me, because God is using me in this hour to talk to people and, you know, tell people things that he's revealing to me. And so I've been getting a lot of pullback, pushback. And the main thing that they're saying is, God will never do that. God is kind and sweet. Yes, he is. And even in his whooping, it's out of love. And it's for restoration. Y'all, we didn't make up the scripture where it says that he told Moses that if Pharaoh did not, this was God saying he was going to bring judgment with fog to the entire nation. If you read the Bible, you will see there's times when God will give warning. And if we continue to rebel, yes, our loving, kind God brings his and he will bring judgment. Y'all got to stop saying that God, yes, he is so graceful. We don't deserve the freedom we have today. Let's be free. So yes, his grace is never ending. His mercy is never ending. You know, a lot of things that we have escaped is because of his grace and mercy. So I want y'all to not think that because God will bring wrath in his wrath and judgment that he isn't still the merciful, graceful God, because none of the things we have we deserve, and it's because of his grace and mercy. And so why this is again a topic is because he is fed up of the sex trafficking numbers rising, his babies, his children, women, men are being suffered into sex slave. And we ain't talking about it. We aren't talking about it. If the world isn't talking about it, the believers should be talking about it. Because it's something that's on God's heart. It is something that is really a focus to God right now. So why aren't we talking about it? But we're so busy talking about Beyonce. Believers.
They talking about the beehive. They want to be a part of the beehive.
So we gotta get our focus on what we need, what God needs us to focus on, right? So we can lead by example. Because when coming judgment, when it's here, when coming judgment to our home, can we say, God, I stood for what was right with you? Can we tell the death angel to go past us or go past our house because we took heed to what God and the word was saying? Whatever is on God's heart is what should be on our heart.
Facts.
We are of the world, but we're not of the world. We are not to confine to what is going on in the world, but we are all prophets. We are all prophets. We are all to cry out against what is wrong.
The problem with the church now is you cannot tell the church from the world a lot of the times, because the church has become so much like the world instead of being a light unto the world. I know that ain't our topic, but it needs to be said. We have come to the point to where we have allowed anything and everything to come in. And then we wonder why there's so much drama, chaos, and confusion going on in our church. It's because we've allowed everything else to come in, and then we put God on a program. We put God on the schedule. Okay, God, you got an hour to do this. If you don't do this within an hour, then we're sorry, we'll come back next week.
Yeah, God, he's fed up. I'm gonna just be blunt about it. It breaks my heart completely. He's fed up. Fed up.
Yeah, I can tell you one of the best services that I went to. I had a concert in July. And if anybody on here was at that concert in July, we had a time schedule for every group that was going to come up. Had them on a time schedule. Everything was running smoothly. The honorees get up, they let the Lord have his way. The main group was supposed to go up right after the honorees. When I tell you it took an hour for things to calm down for the main group to even get on the stage because of the simple fact of God had came in there and totally
Have
had
it
his way in that place.
Yeah.
And at first I'm like, man, we on time schedule, we on time schedule, we on time schedule. And then I had to second myself. I'm like, no, we ain't. Have your way, God. Have your way. We said we wanted you in here. We invited you in. How are we
Yeah.
gonna get mad that you done came in? And God's like, I know this ain't on your program, but we better
Yeah.
have breakthrough happening in here.
Right. Yeah. All right. You want me to do the next question?
Yeah, go to the next one.
All right,
We're
so
back on topic now, y'all.
just again, like Prayer said, we just gonna let God flow. So we may go flip-flop all over the place, right? So number three question is, why do you think it hasn't gotten as much attention as it should, meaning human sex trafficking? Why do you gotten as much attention as it should?
I can tell you why it hasn't gotten enough attention. We are busy looking at NFL football to see if Taylor Swift is going to come to the football game to support her boo. We are busy looking on the internet trying to figure out when Beyonce is going to be coming back through our city. We are busy looking on the internet, looking at these couples that are breaking up left and right. So the devil has us distracted with so many other things to the point to where the things that we need to be focused on, we're not focused. He has our focus on so much junk that we're forgetting the main thing.
I agree. I agree 100%, and it just brings me back to where God had me a few weeks. I think it was like around the time that he gave me insight on this topic, where it says that in these days, and it's always been, but it's so much more now, in these days, wrong will be right and right will be wrong. And because it's such an, and the unpopular topic will be not, it will be nowhere. Non-exempt. It's an unpopular thing. It's not the hype. It's not what's trending. It's not trending. So this is why it hasn't gotten enough attention, as it should, is because everyone wants to be in the in topic, and everyone wants a piece of what's highlighting and a trending celebrities. God is his own celebrity. He got his own platform, his own altar. You know what I'm saying? And so we, again, and I stress this, we should want to be on whatever topic he's on. And he ain't talking about the celebrities. He's not talking about the popular thing. And it's, I feel like it's just this, it's about time that us as believers, especially as adults, grown people,
get out of people's business, like these celebrities' business, get out of it. Like, what do we get out of fishing for what a celebrity is doing today or tomorrow, what they will be doing, or who they're dating or who they're divorcing? It ain't none of our business, because God don't care about that. None of that means anything to God. None of that. And like James said, that is just a scheme and a plot of the enemy, of the devil, how he uses to lure us, to suck us into what we really need to be focused on what God is talking about. And I was guilty of it before I got to this point. And if God can snatch me up and get me to be on what he's on, I feel like I can be at a place now where I can speak and help a brother and sister refocus, or focus, if you were never focused, to get focused. Like, this is a wake up. And I marked today that we are having this conversation, that if we don't get on the right focus with God, that a mighty shift is going to come, where we would have wished that we would have took heed to the warning and to the word of the Lord a lot sooner. He is giving us warning. It is time for us to stop listening to the prophet that is doctoring up what is really going to happen. And then that's another thing that God brought me to, how the prophets in Jeremiah kept saying to the Israelites people and the Pharisees, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. God is not mad. Stop listening to those prophets that is telling you that everything's going to be okay per normal, per usual, and life is just going to keep going on and on the way. No, that is not true. It is time for us to get our life in order. It is time for us to get our life in order with God. It is time, because if you don't, you'll get left. Like, let's be fruitfully, bluntly honest. You can't escape what is coming unless you're before God. You have to be before God. You have to be in his presence, because the only way that we are going to survive what is coming to this land, to this nation, is being before the Lord, to get play-by-play instructions from the Lord and what he's saying. The only way. So to answer that question, it's not the trending, it's not the highlight of what TV is talking about. So it's not something like, example, I wanted to highlight for everyone to watch this movie, because I did see it, because God highlighted it to me for me to watch this movie. And I don't normally go to movie theaters since I became like fully aligned with God, unless he instructs me to go see a movie or to watch something. And so he kept bringing this movie into my vision. And I was just like, God, do you want me to see it? It's called Sounds of Freedom. It's called Sound of Freedom. The movie theaters all over the world did everything in their willpower for this movie not to be seen, because that was the agenda of the enemy. That was the plot and the plan of the enemy, right? But God pushed it forward. Do you know that this movie was presented to Stars, HBO, and they were going to air it, and then they pulled back on it because it was highlighting and it was revealing a lot of the underground sex trafficking that really happens. And it's based off a true story, with a private investigator that caught a bunch of people in Mexico. And he came and did the story, partnered up with another guy to do this story, to tell this truth, so we are all aware. And there was times where people would be in the movie theater that I saw on, like, I believe it was TikTok, where they were putting up the AC on like zero below so that people won't be comfortable, that they were turning off the power, saying that the movie went off. They were doing this, torturing, so that we won't be woke to what's really going on. And so, like I said, God highlighted me to go see the movie. I went to a little small movie theater where I know they won't really, you know, be messing with stuff. And I was able to see it. And I know, I understood why God wanted me to see it. If you have the app that's called, I believe it's on there now, it's called the Angel app, right? The Angel app. I believe it's on there now. You can go watch it there, because I don't know if it's still in movie theaters. You can always go and watch it there on the Angel app. But it is God driven. God pushed forth this movie for another, I forgot who took it up and put it out for them after Stars, HBO, and everybody refused it. Okay? Y'all go see that movie. Please go see that movie. Yeah, Sound of Freedom. Yeah, definitely go see that movie. That was you that wrote that, James?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay. Yeah. So, that question. What was that? Something popped up. There was a question.
No, it wasn't that that popped up. I was showing that comment.
Okay.
I'll go to the next question. What is the meaning of human trafficking to you?
So the meaning of human trafficking to me is basically kidnapping men, children, women, and either trading them, selling them as their own personal good, and turning them whether into actual slave in every way. They make them their slave to pick in their, if they're in Mexico or, you know, places like that, to go on their farmland and pick their crops and things like that. And then at nighttime, they have sex with them. And then there's times where they would take those individual people and connect them with people in the States and sell them for a certain amount of money, or let them borrow them for a certain type of amount of money. And that's what that definition is to me. What about you?
Any type of trading, selling of human beings is human trafficking. Mm-hmm. If you are doing that against somebody's will, it's human trafficking to me.
Yeah. All right. I'll go ahead with the next question, which is number 5, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know when and where human trafficking was created or where it stemmed from? Do you know when and where human trafficking was created from and stemmed from? You want me
to- Now, I do know, as we said earlier, it was going on in the Bible days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first one that I remember seeing about it was when Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first one that I'm actually recalling. I'm sure there's others, but that was the first one I can remember.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let me read. Hold on. So is that all you wanted to add on that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to find notes back from when the Lord started highlighting this to me. I just had it. James, I just had it.
We rebuke that devil in the name of Jesus.
Don't tell me I deleted it. Hold on. I did. Wait. Nope, that's not it. Okay, I got it. All right, so let me just go back. All right, so when God, if y'all don't mind, I'm gonna share some of the notes back from July. When God, what is this, October? So this is how you know God is still, because it was brought back up to us. Back in July 4th, exact, when Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit started highlighting sex trafficking, human trafficking to me. And so in my research, as the Holy Spirit led me, he led me to gather some information. And I'm going to share some of that with you. to answer the question that we just asked, where it stemmed from and where it came from. And so we're talking about, what was that? I missed something.
And that's it in a nutshell. That's it.
But come on, listen, but you know what? They may not be saying anything, but you can't unhear what you hear. Okay. And I
come on.
It's just to do what God told us to do. And we plant and somebody else come on water or God come on water. But once you hear something, you can't unhear it. It don't matter how many people want to comment or not. But we know the plot and the scheme. We bind the tricks of the enemy now. What were you going to say, James?
That's true. But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. They're going to come back. And they're going to hear this for forever because this is going to be online for forever. It's going to be on podcast for forever. So sooner or later, God is going to bring us back to their remembrance.
Okay. Amen. All right. So I found it. If you'll allow me, I'll answer and read this in my answer. Oh, who's that? Denita. Oh, Hey, Danita, how you doing, sis? All right. So to answer, what was the question? Where did
it come from?
So James talked about biblically, right? So I'm going to highlight in what's really happening in the world and where it stemmed from in the world, where it originated from, where it came from in the world that we are in. And so God kept highlighting California to me. And so as he took me in my study and my research, he highlighted California. He says, and based on the research, it says California is the highest of cases in the United States for sex human trafficking, which California is easily connected to Mexico. In Mexico, between Mexico and California, there is multiple different easy access. There is a lot of different several entry points from Mexico to California. Now, when you see the Sound of Freedom in California, that's where the private investigator was from. And that's where mostly the movie was stemmed, between California and Mexico. So this confirmed, before I even saw the movie, this confirmed what God brought me to, of what that movie confirmed. So this is how you know this stuff, like Holy Spirit can't make stuff up. I can't make it up. This the Lord, okay? And so the movie just confirmed everything, which is why he wanted me to see it. So California is the initial meeting grounds into the United States from Mexico, from across the, whether it be Puerto Rico, whether it be Cuba. It is a meeting. California is the initial meeting grounds in the United States. In California is where they do the selling of the children, because they start with mostly children. When they're sex trafficking them from Mexico, these are mostly little boys and little girls, no more than 12 years old, y'all. This is disgusting, okay? And now y'all see why God is on this stuff. So, California being the initial state and the initial meeting grounds from Mexico, that is where they sell off the children out to different states, okay? This is why you see it now merging into New York, New Jersey, Florida, because they take these babies from the entry points, because it's so, Mexico and California is so connected, and there's easy entrance points to where sometimes you don't even need to show proper documents. And that's where they then sell them off to different people all over the states, where they hide them and they turn them into sex slaves. So that's where they sell them off. They sell them off and send them out to other different states. There is multiple underground operations that is taking place in California and in the states of the United States. God is saying that California is where the initial beast is. And so we're feeding the beast. This is where all the celebrities are at. This is where all the money is at. So I'm going to go down to where he highlighted the main targeted city in California, the city in California that's in the red, that where they one of the main entry point is San Diego, is one of the main entry point in California that's in the red. Okay. And then California is what he highlighted to me back then in July was considered Babylon in this hour. We all know who that is in the Bible, right? And so God back then in July, he had me do this post that I wrote up, that I posted on social media as a warning to California, and that I had to call a corporate fast in that area as well. So that was some of the stuff that I researched on where it initiated from and where it is stemming from. So to attach my answer with the numbers, let's talk about numbers. Each state, each year, an estimated of 600,000 to 800,000 men, women, and children are trafficked across the international borders. Y'all, did y'all even notice? It is an estimated that between 15,000 to 50,000 women and children are forced into sexual slavery in the United States every year. Y'all, the United States Department states an estimated of 14,500 to 17,500 people are trafficked into the United States every year. They're trafficking into the United States. What did we just highlight that God just said? That they're coming in from California, and the United States, based on my research today, confirmed that they're coming into the United States. These babies are being held for years as slave and sex slave in these underground activities that we don't even know about. And so, since I'm already on that topic, I just want to go ahead and read to y'all the scripture, because God always confirms to me, or he starts speaking to me about a thing with scripture. And so I want to read the scripture that he connected to this sex trafficking, human trafficking, and how this is really how God feels about it. I believe that's one of our questions, James. It was in the ninth question. I'm going to just go ahead and answer it now. Is that okay that we answer it now?
Go on ahead. We flowing tonight. We flowing.
Listen, so our last question was going to be, we'll flip it around, is how do you believe God? Do you believe this pleases God? So I'm going to tell you how God feels about it, because what he brought me. This scripture brought me to. He brought me to the entire, if you want to read the entire Jeremiah 50. But he highlighted to me verses 31 to 34. And so I'm going to just read those, not the whole Jeremiah 50. Y'all can read that on your own time. All right. So verse 31, behold, I am against thee. That's how God feels. That just to start. I'm not done yet. Behold, I am against thee. He's against it. So y'all know how God feels. So why don't we feel the same way? I am against thee, although most proud. These people are proud. They're boastful. They use their riches to kidnap these babies, these men and these women, right? They're proud, saith the Lord God of hosts, for thy day is come. For thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee. So y'all don't think God is going to bring judgment and visit these people that's been stealing his babies and turning them into slave and sex slave and selling them?
He's right there in the way.
And he brought me to this. This is how he feels. Verse 32. And the most proud shall stumble. They will stumble. They will fall. They will stumble, they will fall, and none shall rise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his city. y'all don't be surprised when y'all see these fires happening. Because it's right there in the word. God is telling us what is going to happen. I will kindle a fire in his city. In his city, these men and these women that is responsible and connected to this crime, this sex trafficking. He will kindle a fire, his wrath, his fire in these cities, and it shall devour all around about them. Verse 33, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children, and he had me highlight children, the children of Israel, and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captive held them fast, and they refused to let them go. God is telling us what these people are refusing. It hasn't stopped. It's growing. The numbers every year have grown. God has spoken to these people. They feel the spirit of the Lord telling, and they refuse. That's what God, in verse 33, y'all, they refuse to let them go. Verse 34. So this is what God is going to do. And he's reminding them that they serve a mighty redeemer. Verse 34. This is Jeremiah 50, verse 34. Their redeemer is strong, who is the Lord. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause. He's not going to give up until these people are set free, until we start making it more important to talk about human sex trafficking, because it's what God is dealing with. He will thoroughly plead their cause that he may give rest to the land. And disquieted the inhabitants of Babylon. Y'all remember y'all heard this from the Lord on Real Talk Monday, okay? And so that's how God feels about sex, human trafficking, and this is why we're talking about it today. Your turn, James.
That's that. The way that God feels about it is, he's against it. Let's keep it all the way real. We are living in a day and time where we are calling right wrong and wrong right. But at the end of the day, if we really want to know how God feels about the matter, look at what the world says is good. If the world is saying that it's good, 9 times out of 10, it's bad in God's eyesight. Mm-hmm. Because the world is constantly linked with darkness. And a lot of the times, the search where we have failed is we have connected ourselves with the world so much that we have become linked with darkness. Mm-hmm. We got to watch ourselves on that.
Yeah. You want to do number 6? Are you what? In this conversation, God rules his world with a little confirmation. You're on mute, James.
Lord, I've been doing this for a while now. I've missed my sister so much. If y'all watch We'll Talk Monday, y'all know that my sister Daisy will be on mute in a heartbeat and be talking. So, you know, I've been doing that in honor of my sister so much because I miss her. I've missed my sister.
You know what? You picked up my habit. Mm-hmm. What you said, this is just all confirmation. God is just amazing to me. When you allow him to flow, he will literally give you a play-by-play on everything before it even happens. And, you know, he's just amazing. Y'all need to really get to really know God if you haven't. Not just sometimes. And this is not from a judgmental place, because I was there where I was lukewarm. I was in a girl. I was with him and not really. And I've been there. And if I can save a brother or sister, because we're running out of time is what's really happening. And so that's why you see the urgency of God's prophet in this hour, because we don't have the time that we used to have. Sadly, we don't. You know, yes, some people may have had a lot more time to get it together, but we don't. I'm being so honest. We don't.
Look at what.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
Look at what's going on in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
The word said that there will be wars and rumors of wars.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we turn around,
there
is a war going on, or there is a rumor about a war that's going to go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Time is running out.
Yeah. We don't have that, you know, how we used to say, and again, I want to use myself as an example. By the grace of God, I had time. But it's so sad that, yes, we don't have the time that I may have had, or James may have had. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it seems like there's an urgency and a push. You may come across where you may feel like a prophet that is really sent from God is a little pushy, and it's because of the urgency that God is giving them to deliver that message. Okay, so let's not think everyone that comes is coming to judge, or everyone that's coming to you is trying to scare you. Really, it's not scary before the Lord. It's protection. It's really protection. It's the only protection.
They're protecting you from yourself.
What's really, the government ain't going to be able to save us, y'all. They don't have our best interests. The Lord does. Y'all keep thinking the money and government is going to be able to save us. None of that will matter. None of it, y'all. Okay. Number six. You want me to do it, James?
Go on ahead.
As believer of Jesus Christ, as Holy Spirit, ever highlighted this particular crime to you at any point in your walk with him?
For me, he definitely has. It was really at the point of, I would say, when I was like in high school, he started showing me different things of human trafficking going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a wake up call to me, because I was like, I didn't think that was still going on. And to be honest, I didn't really know what it was. And if I'm all the way truthful with it, until I really started preparing myself for this topic on tonight, I still really didn't know how in depth it was.
Yeah. You hear them numbers, like.
Yeah, those numbers are scary.
And these are.
And the fact that it's our kids, our babies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, we talked about it when I was in school, when I was younger, but that was way before my like walk. In my walk, yes, he like, you know, recently back in July, where he just kept talking about it. He brought me to the scripture a few times, and he wouldn't let me rest until I gathered all the information. And so things that we have allowed to go by for so long, he don't want us to dismiss it no more. He don't want us to dismiss these things anymore. And so, yes, to answer that question, absolutely. That's what he's doing now.
Mm-hmm. That brings us to our next question. How can we make people more aware of human trafficking in our country, even if it's our small communities of where we live? By having conversations like what we're having now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. Bingo. Did you want to add to that before I answer?
Like having conversations like this. Like not being afraid to like have these tough conversations. Like I said, one thing I love about Will Talk Monday, The Godly View, all of those shows is we are not afraid to dive into those tough conversations and give you God's view on what is going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, I would also
share the same sentiment with James, having more discussion of what we're doing now. And I want to also add in showing love, even if it means screaming on the top of your lungs to get someone's attention. A lot of people would say that if you go to someone to warn them, okay, so let me give an example of warning. A lot of people will say that if someone that should have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in them, that comes and warn, let's just say a prophet, they may say that this prophet isn't sent from God because their way of warning wasn't with love. But how do you warn someone that's in danger? Like if a little boy was running into the street and he didn't see the car coming, are you going to say, oh goodness, don't run in the street? You're going to yell, come back, snatch him up, right? And so I feel like we have to do more of that. And we have to be bold and confident on the authority of Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus went into temples and he was fed up because they were in a temple selling and trading money, he flipped over tables. Right? That was his way of love. And we don't talk about that. We're so focused on always pointing out a way to continue to be oblivious. We always want to point at the people that God is sending or using in a particular time or, you know, the believers and say, you're wrong. You shouldn't do that. And you shouldn't do it in that way. When people out there are dying, kids are out there being snatched. And could it be that you're going to turn away the right prophet that is being sent from God? And then it is going to come a time where he isn't going to send. And it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in, I believe it's in Ezekiel, where God is going to stop sending out his prophets to warn because y'all keep rejecting them. Us as people keep rejecting God's prophet. And so it's going to come a time where he's going to silence them. Cry out loud in spirit. Yes. And so I had a recent situation where I had to warn a loved one. And they came back and said to me, that's not how you show love. So you want me to allow you to die? You want me to allow you to continue to go and be distracted and be deceived by the devil? Any way that the Holy Spirit speaks through me to warn someone, I'm going to do that. And I will never apologize for it. I'm not going to warn someone that I've been talking to for, you know, in a most loving, calming way. And still, even in the erupt yelling for warning, it's still out of love. Like, what do us as a people think that we get out of making a, really honestly, if it wasn't for God taking a shame, no one, I think, and I could speak for anyone that ever speaks for God, no one gets pleasure out of standing there, not being in the popular topic, risk getting slapped, thrown at them, people have gotten killed in the Bible for doing that. So why do we resist these people? Why do we reject and rebel against that? And so I wanted to, I brought that up because I don't know if you guys know this prophet, because this is on my heart to highlight this, because it also tied in with the human sex trafficking topic, where God kept highlighting something that us as believers participate in, and he convicted me for it in the past. I had to recently repent for it and renounce all of that stuff. So Halloween, that is not a holiday that believers should be entertaining or indulging. And so this prophet, her name is Tiffany Montgomery. You can go and look her up. She, a few weeks after the human trafficking that God was highlighting to me, she then
came and warned that God said that the enemy, and God also warned me and said that the enemy is going to be using a particular time to target and attack our kids even more. And so she then came and said that Halloween, we need to be super, like it's canceled, period, right? For believers especially. But Halloween is a time that the enemy is going to use to either gain access to our kids through whether it be candies, these haunted house snatching these kids up when they all go out in bunches without their adults to go trick-or-treating and so on and so forth. That is a time that if y'all are watching, y'all have kids, if you have planned on sending your child out, stay home and have revival. Stay home and have praise and worship with your child. We're not substituting what Halloween is. That is the day of the devil. That no believers should be celebrating Halloween. We should not be parked up in front of the church talking about trunk or treat. We're not, God, the Bible never told us to substitute, okay? The Bible told us to deny. So God knows and sees it all. Even if you want to have what they call it, fall fest, and you still dress up in costume and so forth, God knows and sees it all. You can't have something under another name and think that God ain't gonna know that you're still celebrating and indulging in Halloween. Okay. So I just wanted to warn, it didn't come from me, but it confirmed what God was saying to me. It came from Tiffany Montgomery, and it was a warning for Halloween to watch out for your babies. And instead of sending them to go trick or treat, you teach them how to pray and pray over them that they speak in the Holy Ghost tongues in the name of Jesus. But yeah, James, you had to add something to that.
That's truth. So much truth in that statement. We have become to a point to where we are substituting and trying to make things look good.
Mm-hmm.
To make it sound good. To make it sound good to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll be totally transparent. My sister was talking about she's had to warn people and bring them back and tell them that, you ain't doing what God wants you to do. She's had to do that with me on a couple of occasions. And I thank God for a sister like a Daisy Mitchell that will not be afraid to stand up and be like, yo, bro, come on back. Come on back. I appreciate it.
Listen, let me tell you something. James could tell you I've come a mighty long way. This bold person that you see isn't me. That is just, I made a commitment and a vow to God that I will always speak what thus says the Lord, regardless of how crazy I sound or look. And the old me probably wouldn't have came to James the way I did about a lot of things that I recently did. The old me probably wouldn't be doing this right now. But let me tell you something. God will not let you rest until you do what he tells you to do. And I don't know how some people can get away with not speaking what the Lord says. And I have, since I've been on this strict path with God, doing and saying what he tells me to say, I for example, at work, I'm not always the most enjoyable to be around, not saying I'm cranky, but because I will correct. If God tells me to speak, I'm going to speak. Like as far as with the Halloween thing, they were talking about it. And I work at, I'm going to tell you, but it's a movement on God. Let's just say that. I'm not going to say the place, but it's supposed to be a Christian place. And I was just like, I will hope y'all not going about to be, they're calling it Fall Fest, and they're going to have a whole Halloween fest in the parking lot. No, we're not going to connect the church. There's a church in this building, and y'all going to be outside. I heard that, I wasn't there last year, but someone slipped up and said last year someone had on a Freddy Krueger mask. What does God have to do something about
Freddy? Wait, what?
Yes. But this is the problem. This is the problem. And the thing is, it's sad because we have been so blinded for so long. We've been blinded for so long. And the devil gets a kick out of us being so dumb and blinded, like I'm guilty in the past, of this information. And so if I can save someone, and some people may get on here and be like, it's really not that serious. Yes, it is. Stop. We got to stop saying that it's not that serious. It really is. One of the things that I ask a lot of people, especially now, and I ask myself, when God came and snatched me up, I had to make the decision. Am I all in for God or not? It's not no if and or maybe. Once you make the decision to be all in for God, everything that you do is a decision based on what God goes for and what is righteous to God or not. Once you make that decision, you will no longer be a part of the in crew. I'm going to tell you that from now. And you should be okay with that. If you're not okay with that, then you're not dead to yourself enough. Serving God, walking in alignment with God, means we have to die to ourselves daily. And so, this fire and this boldness you see is because I'm all about my daddy's business, okay? Whatever is his business is my business.
Facts.
And that's how I roll. Anyone that comes up against me, they gotta answer to my father. Romans 1, they were turned over to their below thinking they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship the creature rather than the creator. Correct. Amen to that. Amen to that. Amen. Listen, that's crazy because I just read John, got the verse. I have it highlighted somewhere where God is just amazing. It talked about them worshiping the Son over the Creator, where it talked about them worshiping animals over the Creator in the temple, in his own church. And so you don't think God also in him bringing me to that in John, that he's highlighting about them worshiping these bats and these ghosts and things for Halloween? Come on, God is not pleased, y'all. God is not pleased about none of this. None of it. And it's sad because I see a lot of Christian people fighting against these things, which makes it even harder on us because the people that's non-believers are looking at us like, well, if your own people tell you that nothing don't go so. God is. If we don't, we're in trouble.
Yeah. He ain't pleased.
If you don't have, you want to do the next question, the last one, I believe is 8.
Yeah, we can. Let me go to it. Why are we as a people that don't speak the truth? Why are we a people that don't seek the truth information?
That was one of mine. You want me to do it?
No, I got you.
You got it? Okay.
Yeah. Why are we a people that don't seek the truth and right information? Why are we content with being blinded and in the dark? Because it keeps us in the in crowd. We don't have to worry about what other people have to say about us because we're in with the clique. Mm-hmm. And at this point in my life where I'm at, as long as I get a yes from God, I don't care about anything else.
Amen to that. Amen.
I mean, that's just where I'm at. Like, as long as I know God is pleased with it, that's all I need. And I'm 33 years old right now, close to being 34. And I'm at that point to where if God's not in it, why am I?
Mm-hmm.
What I mean when I say that is, if my father ain't pleased with it, why am I even doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And I like his comment, and it keeps us comfortable. We have to be uncomfortable to grow. Exactly. Yep. Anything that you look at, like, case in point, when you look at a diamond, it had to be, we see the finished product. We see this beautiful thing, this gorgeous thing that a lot of women or a lot of men like to have.
Mm-hmm.
However, that same beautiful thing or that gorgeous thing had to be broken down. It had to be shaped. It had to be molded. It had to be sent through the fire. And I heard somebody say this. We say all the time, you don't look like what you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
But here's what we ought to start saying. You look just like what you've been through. Because if you've been through the fire, you're going to come out looking like it. As you're going to be coming out looking like pure gold. That's what he was meaning when he said, you look like what you've been through. It looks like you've been through the fire, but you came out untouched.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So
we got to make sure that we are pleasing God in everything that we do.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, so to answer... Oh, were you done? I'm sorry. All right. So I want to also co-sign with the young lady that commented. I forgot her name. And as well as James comment on it. You gonna put it back up? No, the other one. Yeah. Yeah. So I want to agree with James as well as Jillian on that and add to the fact that we are very content. We are content because we are afraid. And why are we afraid? We are afraid because when it comes to our livelihood and our job, we may not want to speak up against wrong because we don't want to lose our livelihood and our job. Let's be real. God is the one that provides. God does not want us to get to a point where we will shut up and we will be afraid to speak up, even on our job when it's wrong, if he's telling us to speak up because we don't want to lose our funds or we don't want to lose our income. If he's giving you instructions to ever speak up against or warn about wrong, and it means losing your, if you may lose your job, he will. If he's telling you to do it, he's going to provide. He's the one that provides. So I feel like a lot of people, we are content because of that reason. A lot of it is fear. A lot of it is fear. A lot of it is fear of losing friendships. A lot of it is fear of losing loved ones. A lot of it is fear of being alone. Because if you look through the Bible, a lot of people and prophets, minor prophets and bigger prophets that really operated under the obedience of the Heavenly Father, they a lot of times were alone. And, you know, like example, David would always write these poetry. He was one day praising God and, you know, another day needing encouragement and so on and so forth. And so am I saying that this walk is easy? No, but it's not difficult. It's doable. With God by your side, it is absolutely 1,000% enjoyable and doable every day. He makes it so that every day you need him. He makes it so that every day that you're calling on him, because if we can do it on our own, we wouldn't need him. And so that's the beauty of it. He wants to be in the midst of everything so that you're not shameful. You know, and I feel like that's why a lot of people don't speak up about truth, or a lot of times that we're content with not knowing all the information that we need to know. As example, human sex trafficking is because once you know something, if you don't turn back from it, now you're guilty of the crime too. Let's be real. So a lot of times we don't research the Bible. We don't read the Bible. When I really started picking up the Bible, y'all, and reading it and fully God, the revelator, God gives me revelation and fully now understanding the Bible. Once it made an impact in my spirit, there's no way I can turn back. No way. And so many people don't pick up the Bible. Many people don't read and research and try to seek the truth. Is because once you know the truth, you got to do something with it. You got to do something with it. And if you don't do something with it, then the blood is now on your hands. The crime, you're a part of the crime now. And I'm not saying one or two of me and James and the young lady that's commenting here can make a change towards sex trafficking or human trafficking, but we can warn. We can make heed. God alone is our source. Correct. God alone is our source. If one well dries because we are doing his will, correct, he shall provide another. We should fear not. Facts. But I've heard a lot of people say, you know, they're fearful of losing their job because they feel that they're going to lose your job. But if you don't speak up on what God is telling you to do, then you're not going to be wealthy either way. So it's either you do it with God or you do it without. And if you choose to do it without God because you don't want to do something that he's telling you to do, I'm telling you now, you're not going to live a pleasant life. It's not going to be pleasurable to you. It's not. If you don't fully operate in the office of what God is calling you to operate in, it is going to be a struggle life for you. And that's proof in the Bible. But just like I said, to sum up that last question, we are afraid. I think the key thing is we are absolutely afraid. We're afraid of people. And so when I noticed that God was revealing things to me, then my prayer, even every day, my prayer is, God, can I please continue to help me to be bold and confident in you? Because I can do none of this without the boldness or the confidence of the Holy Spirit. God, if you're going to use me to say something, please help me to be bold and confident. One thing he does not want us, that he highlighted to me, to be afraid of his people. He don't want us to be afraid of man. And a lot of us are. We're afraid of losing relationships. I've lost a lot of friendships. Well, they were friendships at the time. But you will lose people. But it's really weeding out people that you don't even need to be connected to anyways. So to sum this up, just choose God, seek the truth, read for yourself. Don't become complacent on what anyone is saying. Don't even become complacent or take what James and I are saying. I challenge you all to read this stuff and research this stuff for yourself as well. And that's how I'm going to close that up. Choose God. Choose him every day.
That's it. That is it. It's not about myself. It is not about Daisy. It isn't about Tevis. It's about choosing God every day and making him your choice. And y'all, trust me, we are going to have more discussions like this. More discussions like this are coming. Don't get me wrong. We're still going to have the love discussions, the relationship discussions. Those are still going to happen as well. But we're going to have more discussions like this because it's what God wants us to do. We cannot be. One thing that I want God to say with this platform when all is said and done is you was not afraid to share my truth with others. You left no stone unturned. There was no way that people could deny this truth. So stay blessed, and be a blessing to someone else as we close out tonight. Make sure you tune into the podcast, which will drop at midnight on tomorrow night. Make sure y'all tune into that. And just a little heads up, as of today, well, starting tomorrow, you got 10 days until the biggest holiday ever. Love y'all. Peace.
Thank you for the two that joined and interacted. Yes. Y'all are amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate y'all.